We're told we could argue that all of the pleasures and contradictions of modern steampunk originated in a bar called O'Hara's in Orange, California. It was there in the mid-1980s, a century after Jules Verne and all the rest, that the three writers most closely associated with the rise of modern steampunk would meet to drink beer and bat around ideas. Then, in their early 20s, Tim Powers, K.W. Jeter, and James Blaylock lived 10 minutes apart and had read Victorian and Edwardian literature in college. Powers recalls that they would read one another's manuscripts and critique them, unaware that they might be creating an entire subgenre of fiction. "We'd kill pitcher after pitcher and work out plot details," says Powers. Jeter was best at that, and frequently gave me plot twists that flat-out saved novels. At the time, Blaylock says, neither Tim nor I considered ourselves part of any literary movement, and in fact, later on, I had forgotten entirely that Jeter was responsible for the term steampunk. All three authors, each in his own way and in his own style, were writing a form of alternative history based in Victorian times. And why Victorian fantasy? Blaylock said, "Mostly I'm attracted to the stuff, the airships, submarines, clockwork, steam technology. I'm pretty sure that most people were happy to dismantle old clocks when they were kids, just to take a look at the gears and mechanical debris inside." In these books, in addition, Blaylock, Jeter, and Peters created excellent adventure and mystery narratives, often with a social emphasis, a focus on clockwork, steam technologies, and a definite awareness of Jules Verne and H.G. Wells. In a sense, these were an American homage to England, but with attention paid to issues of class from a kind of Dickensian perspective. All that we learn from Jeff Vandermeer in The Steampunk Bible. Vandermeer goes on to showcase the overarching steampunk aesthetic that may have started with the literature, but which has become a way of life, penetrating into pop culture, in movies, comics, fashions, art, music, and more. But we are entering the steampunk sensibility through writing because we're about to ask two writers to escort us into this milieu that they will be celebrating Saturday, July 21st, in Honesdale, Steampunk Honesdale 2018. And there are two writers here who recognize the importance of what Tim Powers and K.W. Jeter and James Blaylock were up to there at O'Hara's in Orange, California in the 80s. Not the part about founding a literary subgenre, but the part about writers coming together, listening to each other's ideas, and the impasses all writers experience from time to time, critiquing each other's work, and generally supporting each other in what can be a lonely pursuit. Carol McManus and Bob Eckstein are founding members of the Open Book Alliance in Wayne County. Carol McManus is a social media consultant, international speaker, and author. One of her recent books is Choices. Real people share their stories of how they overcome challenges to design a better life. And Bob Eckstein, an award-winning illustrator, writer, New Yorker cartoonist, and author of Footnotes from the World's Greatest Bookstores, among others. He is dubbed by many the world's premier expert on snowmen, and he divides his time between New York City and the Poconos. We had a chance to speak with Carol McManus and Bob Eckstein, and they dropped in at the WVIA studios to fill us in, but first we wanted to meet them as individuals and writers.
I moved here in September of 2016 with the goal to get out of the high cost of living New York metropolitan area. Ironically, moving back to roots, my husband's family had dairy farm in his history up in Boyd's Mills. My family is right up the hill in Wyoming Valley, or was. They're no longer there. So we knew northeastern Pennsylvania. So that's the short version. I still work, but I work on my own. And I decided that this was at the point in life when I could do some philanthropic things. One of them is writing. And I couldn't find a writer's group, so I started one, and one became two. And I just connected with the literary community and found out through music, open mics, writers' groups, and events that there is a plethora of talent in northeastern Pennsylvania, most of which is unrecognized outside of a very, very small circle. So giving these people a voice and an opportunity to get their word out to the world is my passion.
Bob and Carol, how did you each meet?
Yeah, I got involved with the group. Right now it's called the Open Book Alliance, and we meet and we work on different events. We're interested in doing workshops. We're interested in sort of expanding our reach and having the community feel like there's this sort of hub of culture that we're going to help nurture. And the first thing coming up is this steampunk festival. It's the first thing we got a chance to sort of showcase our stuff and sort of tie in literature to this theme. So it's all very exciting.
And of course, if we had to look around for a hook for steampunk, the Sturbridge Lion, a steam engine, the first, a pretty good symbol. Did that have anything to do with the coming together of the festival?
I would say not with the festival, but no. Certainly with the town of Honesdale and the Greater Honesdale Partnership embracing this as one of their major events of the year. It's only the second year that they have been the official steampunk of this region. But they're very excited about it because of the connection to the Sturbridge Line, unquestionably. And when you look at the industrial history of the area, the textile history of the area, all of those things that relate to what steampunk is, it's a natural fit.
I agree. It's exciting because there is this connection, even though Steampunk Festival, I think, was born out of just the excitement of this movement. And it reaches to all different ages. It's something that's a stylish thing. It's fashion for the young. And it's kind of also has this longer reach to older people who sort of reminisce about the time of Victorian times. It sort of combines a few different things. And every time I'm thinking about how to describe what steampunk is, I could come up with a different answer. Like, for instance, I was thinking today how it just sort of glamorizes high tech now. We take high tech stuff and there's a way of sort of framing it in this beautiful, ornate way. And having just a different way of seeing everything. The reason why I was thinking about it is because I'm going to be visiting in July the Steampunk King. His name is Bruce Rosenblum, and he lives in Northern Massachusetts. I'm going to visit his house, and he has a whole thing all blinged out in steampunk. His computers, his kitchen, his ovens, everything is going to be all ornate and all been done in a steampunk fashion. Another example of just seeing everything in a different way and trying to make it exciting, everyday objects.
And you say he's a fascination around the world.
Yeah, everyone knows his work. His big thing is taking regular computers and making them into like this Victorian type of machines. He'll take the simple little laptop computer and all of a sudden it becomes the size of your garden shed. But he's very talented and I'm really anxious to see his work up close.
And are you going to be taking pictures?
He's going to help me do a presentation that I'm going to bring back to Honesdale for the Steampunk Festival. We're going to be at the Cooperage, which is on Main Street on the northern side. And my particular program of many programs is to show some slides from this home, as well as some slides and a trailer from a friend in LA who is making a Hollywood movie about steampunk. So that'll be another little segment for people who are steampunk fans, as well as I'm going to have some work from some local artists who do steampunk as well and fold that into the program. And then finally, I'm going to do a little bit about my cartoons and include some steampunk cartoons and just some general New Yorker cartoons that I do and talk about that as well. So should be really great.
Bob, following up on the steampunk cartoons, I know we're on radio, but do your best to give us a sense of what might have inspired you for one cartoon.
Yeah, well, I have one thing that's a Steampunk Friday, which is instead of casual Friday at the office, we have a boss coming in through the office with sort of a unicycle that's holding his cigar and other contraptions, and I have a secretary who's all decked out in steampunk. and trying to give a modern-day twist to steampunk it up.
Did you have any connection in your reading life, Carol? What has drawn you and interested you about steampunk?
Well, the genre that really is associated with steampunk, of course, is in the fantasy sci-fi. I mean, that dates back to, there are many who credit H.G. Wells and Jules Verne as being sort of the grandfathers of steampunk, which probably, if they were alive to tell the story, would disagree with that. However, there was a lot of inspiration there. In fact, we've managed to ease in a little bit of H.G. Wells' Time Machine into what we're going to be doing on Saturday night through a reader's theater, a little bit of history of the area in Wayne County with a twist through the view of a time machine lens. But back to the literary piece of it, that is a part of what steampunk is. I think a lot of people, even I would suggest maybe people who participate in the fun and the flourish by the garments that they wear of steampunk, may not truly understand the roots of it. So we're not going to make this boring by any stretch, but we are going to educate people and really have them appreciate. And what better town than Honesdale that has so much heritage through its various industries that really are all about what the steampunk represents today. So just having this come together, it's almost like a symphony coming together of taking a street fair and outrageous costuming and then this whole history of industry and what we're all about. And the literary component, of course, is what we're tuned into.
I think people are going to be surprised to see the coincidence. They're going to be learning how the local history does have that connection. You could make that connection. And of course, I love that museum in Scranton, the steam town. And I keep thinking of steampunk, but really, they should combine the two. It would be really great. There's only been like one steampunk show that I know of. There was an exhibit in Oxford in England in 2010. And I was at that show. And it's the only show I know of that sort of showcased steampunk. And I have a great amount of photographs to share for the Steampunk Festival this year that I'll show. And that'll be a lot of fun too, because no one's seen these before. And it's really amazing to see what people did, even as the first time out on an exhibit. It really looks beautiful.
And so you have had an interest in steampunk going back.
It goes back as a kid, because I was a big fan of this musician, Thomas Dolby, and I consider him the grandfather of steampunk in contemporary times. Carol pointed out how in literature, really, those authors really did have the inspiration, but Thomas Dolby provided the music, mm-hmm. the soundtrack that I find fits perfectly with steampunk, along with the movie Blade Runner with Harrison Ford. That's another thing to me that was really kind of kicks it off. So I had this sort of interest where I was doing work that sort of had that influence, that feeling. I love the richness of it. I love taking ordinary things and trying to make something that feels warm. I think that's another way of seeing it, is like the high tech of everything. There's a warmth that the steampunk aesthetic could add. And it just makes everything so much more beautiful. And then it draws in all these other types of people who have an eye for either the music or the art or the writing. So there's something for everyone. It's different things for different people. But I think that we're going to be exposing people who saw it as one thing and see how it could be other things as well, like the local history, which I myself am very interested in. I'm anxious to see the program.
Yeah, and if I could sort of maybe give a different characterization, it's a smash up of many things. And to Bob's point, where some people only see it through one lens, and the fashion, by the way, is one of the most common lenses for people who come into this movement, because that's fun. I would liken it to Comic-Con. But when you think about Comic-Con is not just about going to a convention and dressing up in superhero costumes. There's so much more to the culture behind comic books and what they represent to our society. I believe that is steampunk at its core. This is so, so much more. And what I also love about it is there's a general criticism that we always throw out the old for the new, and that the Industrial Revolution, that was then, this is now. Well, guess what? Now is because of everything that happened then. And the people that are part of the steampunk movement appreciate that. And to Bob's point, whether it's through fashion, whether it's through construction, whether it's through art, literature, music, whatever, it's bringing that all together. And it's a marvelous message.
I'd love to share some more details about the upcoming programs, and we can send them to the website, because you'll find all the details and the times of the different programs. There's programs for kids. There's going to be some that's more geared for adults. There's some that's for both.
The website is authorfestpa.com. That's exactly how it sounds. Authorfest, F-E-S-T-P-A, as in Pennsylvania, .com. And we probably should just quickly mention AuthorFest, because that was the genesis of Open Book and what we're doing at this particular event. They've been around for 4 years. The core that started it reached out to Bob and I independently, and that's how we met, to become part of this, to try to take that event to the next level. And so the goal here is not only to highlight and champion our local authors, but with the partnership of the steampunk event. So it's going to be very, very cool. Very cool.
And I see the phrase poetry and music switching tracks. So as you suggest with Thomas Dolby, music is a part of this phenomenon. And these are local musicians and local poets?
The poetry are going to be local poets who are symbolically going to be sitting on a train, as we all do on trains, is musing, and our minds go in different directions, which is the voice of different poets. But all of their poetry and their readings will be put to music, some live, some predetermined, with the idea of this is how people think, this is how people feel, this is how people express. A very, very powerful ending to the program. The Reader's Theater is more geared to the history of the area, but in a way that I say with a twist, because I don't want to give away too much, but with a fun twist that I think will put a different perspective. And as Bob said, I think people will learn and appreciate things, maybe hidden little jewels that they didn't know about not just Honesdale, but the entire region.
And what you're telling us, too, is that this is not a nostalgic escape to the Victorian era where we play dress up, that there is some sense about seeing our present day through the lens of steampunk, that we can begin to look at what's around us now in a way that we might not have.
No, it's a little murky, because you could say it's very futuristic too. Mm-hmm. There's actually this component of a time machine where people like to tie in that you go back in time, you go forward in time. And reminds me, I have belonged to a gym in New York City, and there's this man who's been trying to convince me to go in the time machine with him. Now, I will say he's disappeared and I haven't seen him at the gym recently, and I'm really concerned about that. But it reminded me of steampunk. It's the whole dreaming, there's the fantasy and the idea that anything could be possible. And it's fun. It's just silly at times, but at the same time, it's also scientific. I kind of like it because it also makes me feel very smart about being high tech, and you kind of learn about all these things, that wind power and the golden age of the wireless and other things.
Carol, what about your own writing? When left to your own devices, what kinds of writing do you do?
I do a little bit of everything. Last year, I published a book called Choices, which was a narrative nonfiction about interviewing people throughout the country on critical choices they'd made in life and what they learned from them years, sometimes decades later, and how those choices were tied to their value systems. The book I'm working on right now as part of that series is My Choice to Serve, and I'm interviewing veterans of different aspects of both age, rank, military service, to find out why did they serve, what did they learn from it, what was life like, and things that others can learn who are dealing with those same issues. From a fictional standpoint, I'm finishing up a mystery called Buried for Life, which I started many years ago and finally dug off the shelves. My writers group has been a big help in getting that ready to go to press. And then I do write poetry also. So writing, and this would be my message for any of you out there who are writers, is if you want to be a writer, just write. Just get it down on paper. If you journal, that's fine. I certainly would invite anyone, if they'd like to talk to me about joining the writers groups or how to put together a writers group in their area, I'd be happy to do that, because writing, and Bob knows this, it's a very lonely process. You know, you do it with yourself, your pen or your computer or tablet, whatever device you're using. But the idea of being in a community of people who are doing the same thing and going through those same struggles and need constructive feedback, want support, and how they can improve their writing so that they can achieve whatever their goals are. Some might it be they might see their name on the list of New York Times bestsellers. Others simply want to complete a memoir and be able to give it to their grandchildren. But writing is a wonderful, wonderful outlet. And with the world of publishing today, we're giving voice to people that wouldn't have necessarily ever had a chance to get something published. And I'm a big advocate of that.
Yeah, I've learned a lot since I've met Carol, even the nuts and bolts. Because Carol knows a lot about the business side, too, which is why I'm excited about some of the workshops we propose for the future for upcoming writers, just knowing how to promote your own book and things that maybe someone who's going to self-publish would need to know to navigate the waters that are pretty unknown.
And Bob, I brought this out so we could remember to talk about the fact that not only do you celebrate authors, but you have taken a good deal of your time to celebrate bookstores as unique and wonderful ways for authors to get their stories to us.
No, thanks. We're looking at my book, Footnotes from the World's Greatest Bookstores, and it came out a couple of years ago. And now what I've done since is that I'm doing another book with Princeton University Press called The Ultimate Cartoon Book of Book Cartoons. And it's a book just made up of cartoons about bookstores. And it talks about the challenges of bookstores as well as cartoons for readers as well. For example, there's one cartoon of a man sitting on a bed. And like most of us who love books, he's covered and surrounded by piles of books waiting to be read all around the bed. And the banner on the cartoon says, Reader's Block, which is, I think, a really cool idea. So I'm coming out with this book in the spring of next year, and it's made up of the world's greatest cartoonists, including Raj Chaz, Jack Ziegler, Bob Mankoff, and many others who everyone have loved in The New Yorker. I was lucky to get them all to contribute and make up about 150 cartoons. It's really exciting. That book is already together. It's created, and it'll come out next year.
And so what we're witnessing, and we have with this book footnotes from you, Bob, and what you are going to share with us in terms of cartoons, is that somehow, at a very deep level, books are very important to us, no matter how high-tech we get, that books are something that we care very much about as people.
Exactly. It's an experience that, you know, it's a one-on-one with the books. It's something that a lot of times movies can't replace, and that's why people so often say the book was better. And I do mention in the cartoon book in my introduction how people had their lives changed by a book. A book could change a person's life and the way they see things. And sometimes it's in ways that you would never guess. And in some ways, it's in obvious ways, like Carol's book Choices, which actually is a blueprint to going ahead with your life. So I do see this importance with bookstores. I always said it's a cultural hub for every main street, that it's the place where like-minded people get together, and it's where things could happen. And we're hoping to make the same thing happen within the writing group in Honesdale and Hawley that we're referring to, because it's then that people get together and they could sort of explore and expand their art. I mean, you do need to work with other people and not work in a vacuum. I have always felt as an artist, the most important thing, your first priority is to communicate. Because if you're not communicating your ideas, then really you're just self-indulgent and you're working for yourself. It is important that your art in some way does touch other people. And I think that's just a job description.
And if I can just tag on one thing to that, because I don't know that most people know this, but there is a myth out there that books are passé, everything is electronic, digital. It is absolutely 1,000% not true. Books are more popular than ever. There are a few genres, romance being one of them, that are very popular in the digital format because we tend to think of them as read it and throw it away. But when it comes to books, whether it's business books, whether it's your favorite novelist that you follow through the entire series, I mean, good heavens, we just lost Sue Grafton recently, just short of the finish line of finishing her last book in the series, the Z in her alphabetical series. But I have an entire library of Sue Grafton's books, and I would never, ever part with them. So to say that it's generational is untrue. To say that books aren't being printed, books aren't being absorbed is absolutely not true. And it's that tactile relationship that you have with a book that, I'm sorry, the digital version. And it has nothing to do with age. It has everything to do with the experience that Bob talked about.
I think sometimes, too, having the physical object makes it more precious and gives it more value. Mm-hmm. Like you feel like it's something you've collected in the same way you like your favorite record. It's different than just downloading the file. It's something about having it in your possession that makes it feel like a special thing. There was something on yesterday's NPR. There was a show talking about people collecting objects, the importance of the object itself and holding on to it for decades. And the same thing could be true for a book. My wife last night was just finishing a book, and she says, I'm definitely not going to give this away because I know I'm going to come back to it one day and it'll be important to me. Sometimes you'll even know when a book is going to change the way you think. And sometimes it hits you later. You could read something and then later in life, it's something that resonates. And all of a sudden you find yourself having that experience be an aid to you in life.
What's one of the books that made a big difference for you in your life?
Yeah, in the cartoon book, I cite the very first book I read, Go Dog Go, Dr. Seuss, and the whole metaphor behind the symbols in that book. But really, seriously, the books that changed me, I guess, when I was younger, Deepak Chopra, written some books that really influenced me. And I bring him up because I just heard from him. He's writing a blurb for my next book. So it was fun to reconnect with him. And he's also one of Time Magazine's top 100 influential people in the century. Uh-huh. So he's had a big impact, and he's written about life decisions and stuff that made an impact on me when I was younger. And so for me, it was a real treat to have him now re-enter my life and to help support my book.
And that's Karma.
I'm sure that's one of the titles of his 80 books or whatever. It's Karma. No, he does talk about karma, and that's funny. You should bring that up. I always feel like it's a privilege to put out a book. So to me, I don't take it for granted.
I agree with that statement. It is a privilege. And if I can just offer an invitation again to the listeners of another thing that's going to be happening on July 21st that Bob and I are both very proud of, is that we have a lot of published, very successful authors right here in our region. We're going to have several dozen of them there that day, available to meet people, share their books, sign their books. And often when you read a book, you never have that chance to meet and greet the author or say, gee, I read your book and I'm curious about this, or what was your inspiration? And this is the day that they can do it. They'll have lots of time, and the authors are very excited to be able to be right there on Main Street in Honesdale to meet their readers and their fans. So that's another benefit of this event.
So we're going to meet authors. We're going to pick up books, real books. We're going to be tickled by presentations. And we're invited to wear, if we have anything steampunk.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
encouraged. I'd go beyond
up.
Invited to encouraged. But you don't have to. And I also want to circle back to the kids, too, because we probably didn't give enough encouragement to parents, because there is a perception that steampunk is all about the older generation. We really wanted to honor the children, too, because they are our literary future. They're our future readers. So we're doing the opening program, which will be about 4:30 in the afternoon, is going to be for the little ones. And we're building that around Cloud Boy and Firefly Mountain, and both fabulous books for very young and the sort of the next juvenile level up from that. But we have some fun presentation and crafts and fun things for the kids.
Yeah, at the festival, we'll have a very popular local children's book author, Lindsay George, who's really fantastic. And she'll be there at the Cooper Ridge. Her program, I think, would be at 4:30. So I'm looking forward to spending the day with her, too. It'll be a lot of fun.
So as Bob said earlier, this is really a little bit for everybody.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Carol McManus and Bob Eckstein, writers who are founding members of the Open Book Alliance in Wayne County, speaking with us in anticipation of Steampunk Honesdale 2018, the weekend of July 21st in Wayne County. The Open Book Alliance will be centered at the Cooperage on Saturday, July 21st. And that's an event where literary prose, poetry, music, and illustration come together. You can meet local authors, enjoy the magic of children's creative imagination, as they put it, have a reader's theater experience, and much more. It's free, and here is something about the schedule. Meet the authors from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., so that's ongoing. Skyscape is the title of the Kids Hour, and that's at 4:30 to 5:30. Then Steampunk Bits and Pieces. That's Bob Eckstein's presentation, a program including some of his New Yorker cartoons, photos he's taken on steampunk themes, including those from his recent visit to the Steampunk King in Massachusetts. There will be then a reader's theater experience, Tracks in Time at 7, and Switching Tracks, Poetry and Music, 8 o'clock. 8 to 9. That's all at the Cooperage in Honesdale, and it's part of the original Author Fest, and now hosted by the Open Book Alliance at the Cooperage. For more information on the web, authorfestpa.com, authorfestpa.com.
Can, stomp, stomp. Oh, baby, just like a man when he be holler. Don't stop, don't stop. Oh, we must be doing a gentle stomp. Oh, we must be doing a gentle stomp.